All right.
Boudreaux. Y'all be waiting for me to say Boudreaux. Huh? Y'all don't come to hear what I got to say. Y'all just come to hear Boudreaux, don't you? Well, anyway, Boudreaux and Thibodeau went job hunting. Come up on this place, help wanted. So they go in, and the guy says, man, I really need two people really bad. He says, so I'm going to bypass the normal process, and I'm going to give you a little oral exam, and if you pass it, you got the job. Thibodeau went first. Question was, Thibodeau, if you had $8 million and I gave you two, how much would you have? Thibodeau said, I'd have $10 million. You got the job. Well, you'll know who's next, right? Boudreaux. So he says, Mr. Boudreaux, if you had $2 million and I gave you $1 million, how much would you have? Boudreaux says, well, Thibodeau is jumping out of his seat. So Boudreaux said, all right, okay. Oh, my goodness. That's it. I'm done. I mean, I go all over the world looking for these things, and when I come, y'all don't appreciate them. I mean, y'all used to give Greg standing ovations, you know, when he tell those corny jokes. Not the ones that I gave him, but the other ones. Anyway, I want to talk about the perfect gift. You know, people say you want to give somebody a gift that keeps on giving. I know one gift that keeps on giving because it's eternal. And in that one gift, there are so many gifts. You know, I used to watch my wife take the prettiest paper, the prettiest ribbons, take her own time and wrap gift after gift for the grandkids. You know, on Christmas morning, I would laugh. I said, you spent all that time. And look, they tearing it off. I've never heard one of them look and say, oh, that paper is so beautiful. You know, it's just what's inside, right? Well, when we got the gift from heaven, and when you rip that thing off and look at what's inside, you say, man, I'm set for life. Because now you really have a life. Because before you got the gift, you didn't have a life. We thought we had a life. But that void that happened back in the garden was still there, and we tried to fulfill it with everything. I know I did. But when I got this gift, really didn't know what I had until I started to look in the gift. You know, open this thing and I see eternal life, but I didn't have a clue what that meant. You know, you tell me I'm going to live forever? Is it going to be like this? Well, just investigate. Man, let's look in it and see what you really got. And we know how we got to where we are because of what happened back in the garden, right? Genesis chapter 3, don't turn there. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they caused enmity. Hostility came between God and man, right? We know that. The Bible says that man became hostile to God. So, and God knew all this. Think about it. In God's foreknowledge, when he told Adam and Eve, don't eat the forbidden fruit, right? Don't eat from that tree of what? Good and what? Well, there had never been evil. So you think they would say, well, what's evil? There had never been no evil. To that point, God said, good, very good. But God in his foreknowledge said, look, I know what you're going to do. And we'll make plans. Because in that same verse, he says, yes, there's going to be enmity, but I'm going to bruise his head, right? He's going to bruise my heel. So there is a prophecy that I'm going to fix before the world began. He said, I'm going to fix what y'all are going to break. And he made the proclamation in Genesis chapter 3:15. Here's how I'm going to fix it. Bruise his head, he's going to bruise my heel. Now turn to John chapter 3. Let's examine the gift. And when you go through this gift and you look at the gift, you say, how in the world man can operate in religion? Because religion got none of these promises. Religion said, if you do, God might do. I heard a guy this morning simply says, you know, the way you program God is he mortgaged his house and he gave $10,000 to some other ministry, Joel Osteen, I'm guessing, or Copeland, because that's the crowd he runs with. He's saying God never stopped blessing him since. So it's nothing about programming God in the gift. God wants to program you and me by the gift that he gave us, his life, the spirit that lives inside of us. That's how he wants to program us. He don't want us to do something, think we're going to gain favor from him. John 3:16 answers that. It says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But had that not been Romans or Ephesians, you probably couldn't figure this out. But God goes on to explain exactly what all that means. Look in verse 18. Same book. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, that enmity is still there. All the way from back to God, you're cursed. Now, you're either going to allow me to take you out of that curse and give you life, or you stay right where you are. And you die and go to hell. And the majority of the world, that's where they are, and that's where they will be. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that few find, right? So, according to God, most of them are going to stay on the road they're on. They're going to either live in their religion, or just live in what they're living in, nothing or whatever. I'm my own boss, I'm my own God. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. Ephesians chapter 2. Now we're talking about the gift. Man, every time I reach in that thing and you think you got all of it, you say, man, there's some more stuff down here. There's some, look at this. In Ephesians chapter 2, he tells us why God so loved you and God sent his only begotten son for one purpose. To take away that barrier that stood between God and man. And that barrier was what? Sin, right? That was a sin debt. Who could pay it? You can't make a loan from Musk or any of those guys to pay it because there ain't enough money. Who could pay the sin debt? And that was the issue. That was the problem. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Ephesians chapter 2, watch what happens here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, I call this the gift of peace and freedom from the law that kills. Christ and his crucifixion took care of both of those problems. Man had enmity. And then between that enmity came Moses' law that kept you dead. Because the law says the soul that sinned, it shall die, right? So now you double dead. In Romans chapter 5, you have to turn there, Paul said, when the law came, sin abounded. Sin increased. Paul said, I never knew what all this stuff was until the law showed me. And when it flowed through me, guess what? It killed me. Well, what Paul should have said, it kept me dead. Because there's no way you can have life if you still got death. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, who's that? That's Gentiles. Want to know how we got in the covenant? He said, okay, you in. You were far off. You had all these good stuff was given to the Jew. All the oracles was given to the Jew. Gentiles, some of y'all could become proselytes, but you had nothing. You take the law from the Jew, he's zero. They boast about having a law. Verse 14, he is our peace, that's reconciliation, had made both one, Jew and Gentile, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that came in the garden, even the law of commandments and ordinances, that's the Mosaic law, to making himself one new man, thus making peace. That's reconciliation. Because it goes on in 16 and says that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came preaching peace to you which were far off, me and you, and the Jew that were not. So in the gift, first things first, you have to be reconciled. God says that enmity that wasn't put, man chose when Adam decided to eat from the tree, enmity automatically came because God and sin don't mix. So he became hostile, you became hostile, I'm hostile, but now he's come preaching peace, reconciliation. I'm going to reconcile you, which is to say, I'm going to rip the veil from top to bottom. Now you can tell the high priest, man, thank you. Thank you for the offer of life. Thank you for the offer of salvation. Thank you for the gospel message. Or you can stop at reconciliation. And you got nothing but reconciliation. He reconciled the whole world, but the world's going to hell in a handbasket. But the moment I believe the gospel, and he had to do one thing, take sin out of the way. You couldn't approach God without reconciliation. If he'd have left the curse put on in Genesis chapter 3, you and I would have no privilege to approach. None. Zero. Zero. But look what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Watch how Paul explains this. Man, I tell people every day, reach down in that gift every day and see what you got. Reach down there and see what you got. Paul said, look what he's done, man. God has done all this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, all this is from God. All this, not some of it. This came in the package. This came in the gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Watch this. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians? Y'all should know better. Man. Soon as I said 1 Corinthians, y'all should have said, no, you mean 1 Corinthians. Mike, you know better. Hey, come on now. Y'all got to get with me. No, 2 Corinthians. Man, it's the first time I've been wrong this year. Lord, you know I'm joking. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul asks a question. Paul makes a statement here. Please be reconciled to God. Because that's the entry. That's the door. Paul said, please be reconciled to God. Reconciliation is something you have to receive, just like salvation. If any man be, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things will become new. All things are of God who has reconciled, now watch these terms, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world or the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, what he's committed to us, telling people, and I tell you, this is a great way to strike up a conversation with a lost person. So let me give you some news you probably didn't know. God don't put sin on your account. He's not imputing sin to you. That might perk some interest. I want to tell the guys at jail that I say, do you realize that God does not put sin on your account, even if you believe in him or not? And they look and say, well, I thought people's going to hell because of sin. No, people going to hell because of the original sin if they don't believe in the one who paid the debt. And that begins with reconciliation, verse 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, believers, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. How often Greg used to say this? Only thing that's going to keep you out of heaven is righteousness. Not your sin debt, because you don't have one. It's been paid. But you have to be reconciled. You have to be reconciled to God. Go to Romans chapter 5. And reconciliation is believing that God rent the veil from top to bottom. Man, I can go directly to him and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Not asking him to do anything. Not promise him that you're going to do nothing. I simply receive what you've done. And when you share the gospel, make it simple like that. Don't tell people, well, you know, if you do this and you do that. And you know, the Old Testament says and the New Testament. Hey, Christ died for your sins. He paid your sin debt. He paid your sin debt. Do you believe it? And if one believed that, they can only get that through reconciliation because God has made peace between God and man. Romans chapter 5. Reconciled by the death of Christ, saved by the resurrected life of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of Christ, that's reconciliation, when Christ died, he paid the sin debt, thus man can go to God and say, I accept the offer of life, the offer of salvation. He took sin out of the way when he died. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. And not only, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. Reconciliation gets you right through the gospel. But you can't get that. That's why religion will never work. Religion gets to God around reconciliation. I'm going to make myself good enough. No, God saw you bad enough that he showed grace and mercy and kind kindness and say, you can come to me. You can believe, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to convince those lost people that you need reconciliation, that you have to come to Christ by his prescription and not by yours. I have reconciled the whole world to myself. Is the whole world going to heaven? No. Everybody that we snatch out of that world by preaching reconciliation, how many churches, as a matter of fact, where I came from, I never heard me being a minister of reconciliation. I always heard you need to work on your sin problem. You need to stop doing this and start doing that. And I never had no strength to do it. Well, that's the design of it. Because I probably was still dead. But when I realized that God had paved the way for me to come, well, that's why he rent the veil from top to bottom. One high priest, you can go straight to him and thank him for saving you. Thank him for the privilege to approach and receive the gospel message. Took sin out of the way. Hebrews chapter 9. Don't have to offer me over and over and over. I appeared at the end of the age of law to put away sin once and for all. I'm not going to judge on the basis of sin when I come back. I'm going to judge on the basis of righteousness. Do you have righteousness? Bottom line. And boy, we complicate this and we make it so complicated. And he said, no, everything you need, you got it in the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. So if you got the gift, you got no more wages because they've been paid. They had to be paid. And it had to be paid by somebody who had the currency to pay it. I didn't, you didn't. And his bank account was sinlessness. That's why his check was accepted. Only somebody else might could write a check like that. It's Mike Somoza. I mean, but anybody else? Or Mr. Ken? My little $10 check wouldn't do nothing. But think about it. Everything we need, as Peter says, for life and godliness, he has given us. When Christ, who is our life, appeared, we should be like him. Think about that. How could you ever achieve that? Could you work hard enough to get those kind of accolades and look, God, look what I've done. You got to let me into heaven. Man, I fed the poor. I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. I never knew you. Depart from me. Can you imagine somebody hearing that in the last day who's been religious all their lives? Gotta be the most... Well, I can't even imagine. Don't want to imagine. But anyway, it's simply receiving him. Look at John chapter 1. Turn to John chapter 1. Man, he made it simple enough for me to understand. I know y'all must understand. John chapter 1. Look at verse 11. It says this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become what? Man, you can say no to this gift. But once you receive it, you got eternal life and all the other stuff that goes, that's in that package. All the stuff that's in that package. You say, well, how does this work? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. That's why it's such a joy for me to read the Bible. Man, you just keep on seeing stuff that you didn't see before. And you can only give him the glory. Not of works of righteousness which I have done, or what you have done, but by his mercy, he, y'all know the rest of the story, he saves us. 1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 18. Think about it. When Peter writes stuff like this, I get excited because I know how Peter was and where he came from. I know his history. It's kind of like me. Kind of on the rock ain't going nowhere, partner. The rock got you. Die never happened. You will never die, not long as I'm here. Is that what Peter said? Let me whack off a year to show these people that I got the king's back. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not you might deny me, but you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter. Peter, I got this. Don't worry about having my back. I don't need you to watch my back. I got this. What if Peter would have kept him from dying? We'd all punch Peter out, right? Because we'd all be in trouble. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, for Christ has suffered, for Christ also once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust. For what reason? That he might bring us to God. How did he do that? By being killed and then brought back alive. So if you're going to choose a religion, you ain't been brought to Christ. Is that such a word? But if you believe the gospel, you've been brought to Christ. You know, as Christ says, come on, I'd bring you to the Father. How do I know that he brought me to Christ? Because I'm seated in heavenly places in him. Boy, that's one hell of a gift. As a matter of fact, took you out of hell and brought. I mean, think about it. How great was Paul? Going to do what he do, and Christ knocked him off the animal and said, Paul, I see you're a zealot. But you're in the wrong direction. That's why I tell everybody, if you're sincere about finding Christ and you hung up in Jehovah's Witness or the Catholic Church, God's going to get you on the right track if your zeal is legitimate. But if you've got a legitimate zeal to prove your religion is true, he'll leave you right where you are because that's where you want to be. But if you're truly looking for him, like Paul was, he can knock you off the chair and bring you to him. Or knock you off the bar stool. You say, well, I was just drunk. But that's okay. He can do what he promised to do. And he will do what he promised to do. And if you look in the gift, you got everything you need for life and godliness. Go back to Romans chapter 5, where y'all just left. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, this time verse 15. Says this, not as the offense of one, not the offense, so also the free gift through the offense of one. In other words, The first man's offense, Adam. The last Adam's offense, Christ, which was the cross. What he's saying here, he says, for through the offense, many will be made dead. Well, many will be dead. Many was died in Adam. All died in Adam. Much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, last Adam, has abounded unto many. Everybody that receives him, everybody that believes. And not of defense of the one that sinned, that's Adam, let me put it this way, the free gift is to all offenses. People say, no, some, all offenses. The word many there, I mean, how could Christ put a number? Quadrillion? He just used the word many. As many as received him, as all that believe, many offenses is all offenses. And we're going to see that in Colossians chapter 2. In other words, what he's saying in Romans chapter 5, in Adam all y'all died. But in Christ, all are made alive. But the moment you're made alive, look at what happens. Look at what happened in verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive, there's that word again, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So what's in the gift, one of the main things in the gift is justification and righteousness. You can't separate those two things. Justification and righteousness. So what happens when the enemy tells you that you're not right with God, or you're not justified by God? Well, I go back to him and say, hey, let me just read what I know, that I put my faith in Christ, and with that faith, with that believing in him, comes his righteousness through justification. And then I can go to Romans 8 and say, whom he justified, he also sanctified, and sanctified, he glorified. The process is complete in the eyes of God. We're still going through it practically, but in the eyes of God, God sees you complete. Unreprovable, unblameable in his sight. Not in man's sight, but in his sight. How great a gift is this? When I can go in this gift the year round and find everything I need for life and godliness. Because it was given to me in the moment I went through reconciliation, thanking God, accepting God, not repenting of something, I repented of my dumbness, my spiritual dumbness, and I received the offer of Christ, and with that, he simply says, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Paid for, bought and paid for, I just got to come back and pick up the package. That's me and you. You know, when you order stuff from Walmart, put it on your credit card, just got to go and pick it up, right? Or they're going to deliver it. But it's already paid for, right? So now if all that is in that gift of God, man, I should be at peace all the time, right? Not the peace of the world, but the peace that God gave. Man, peace is not you jumping up, kicking your heels. Peace is wherever you are. Paul said, I'm content, and no matter what state I'm in, I'm content. Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, don't matter. I'm content. No, what Paul is really saying, I'm in jail, I'm content. Wrongly accused, I'm content. Paul, he just beat you like a snake, and you content? We think if like the Hebrew boys, they could have been so legalistic and say, well, I must have did something wrong because God didn't get us out of this furnace, but he delivered you in the furnace. Are you feeling the heat? No, because he delivered you. Well, you're in the world, there's heat all around you, but we've been delivered. Practical side of it is we're being delivered, but the God side of it, we've been delivered, right? So that's the thing we need to understand. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 is one of the biggest things in the gift that most people will not. You just can't bring them to believe this. Oh, I mean, if you tell me that, man, I could go kill 10 people and threaten 10 others. And if I believe this, well, it's the truth, whether you believe it or not. We're just talking about many offenses. Colossians chapter 2. And this is the passage of scripture that tells you that Christ took care of it all. You had a sin debt paid. You had somebody to rash of the devil defeated. I got a bruised heel to verify that. You got a sin debt is dealt with. The three dirty deeds. He dealt with it here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, where you also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Nothing to do with you. God did this, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many? All. So, well, you know, what about if I sin willful? Well, a part of that is, the definition here is a side slip, a lapse, a deviation, unintentional error, or willful transgression. So that no sin bypassed the cross. They all were paid for at the cross. Now, if that be true, and it is, all trespasses, every one of them, if that be true, then if you took your Satan, you can roar, and boy, a lion roaring, I don't care if he ain't got, if he's toothless, if he's clawless, he can scare you. But understand, that's all he can do. You've been defeated. Paul says here in Colossians chapter 2, he defeated you at the cross when you were celebrating, thinking that you had victory. Look at what Paul says in Colossians. Go back up to Colossians 4. I think I did that. Colossians 2, verse 4. Everybody got it? Blotting out the handwritings of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them openly in it. The very moment that Satan thought he had him defeated, he was showing Satan up. Satan, you just messed up your own game. Because you're fulfilling prophecy. You're defeated. And what about the law being nailed to the cross? The other thing that could just kill you, the soul that's in it shall die. So I took that out of the way. Oh, it killed somebody, but it killed me. But at my death, burial and resurrection, you got life. So we're the winner. We are all winners because of what he's done. All this is in the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, what if death can't kill you because I abolished death at the cross? I made it ineffective. Grave's got no sting. It's got no victory. The power of sin is where? In the law. I fulfilled it. I nailed it to the cross. It's got no power over you. If you want to live in sin, have at it. God says, I got you. Whom I love, I discipline. I teach. And I try to do it by admonishing you. I'm not going to use the law to beat you down. I simply say, if you've been stealing, cut it out. Get a job. Work with your hands. Now, if you endure, understand that education, I can cut off the discipline. But if not, I can take it further. But most of us, we don't go that deep. Right, Craig? If he does, knock him upside the head, Chloe. But man, look at what's in the gift. Everything we need for life and godliness. Total forgiveness. Total righteousness. So, oh, I got a little bit of righteousness. No, he does not give us the Spirit in measure. He gave us the fullness of the Spirit. And I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm going to send the comforter back, which is the Spirit. He's going to live on the inside of you. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your teacher. He's going to be the one that said, don't, or do, do. Not the law. Or any other system that you can come up with. It doesn't work. Because it wasn't meant to work. If there was a law, any law, that could have given life, then God did something stupid by killing his son. I'm going to make it perfect for you. I'm going to send my only begotten son, and all I ask you to do is put 100% of your faith in what he's done. And when you do that, I got you. But what if I turn loose? I'll never turn you loose. I give unto you eternal life. No man can pluck them out of my hand or out of the Father's hand. That's double protection. Well, you throw in the Holy Spirit, that's triple single protection. You know, for God to send us to hell, for God to say I changed my mind, then he'd have to send himself to hell. Because he said, I give unto you the Spirit, and he shall be with you forever. That's why David could say, if I go to hell, guess what? He's there. Wherever you go, Christ is there. That's a part of the gift. I give unto them eternal life. No man could pluck them out of my hand. I was at the juvenile thing over here, and the lady that runs it, we were in a conversation, and I said, I guess you want to know what I was going to teach the kids. I said, well, that they're safe in Christ, that they have life everlasting. No man can pluck them out of their hand. She said, oh, but you can walk out. I said, and who would be the winner? She said, what do you mean? I said, if I could walk out, who would influence me to walk out? So I guess the devil. I said, well, he didn't defeat the devil. So he's over all powers and principalities in Colossians chapter 2. He said, I got this. She said, well, yeah, but, you know, I believe you can walk out. I said, well, regardless of what you believe, you can't walk out if you ever got in. And we just agreed to disagree. But anyway, man, the gift that really keeps on giving. Just when you think you've got the last piece out of that box, you reach down there and you say, boy, that's a whole bunch of stuff. And it's going to be stuff in there until you get to heaven. Once we get to heaven, we ain't going to worry about all this stuff down here on earth. But meanwhile, how are you going to walk? You're going to walk by faith. And what he said he's done and what he said he's going to do. I'm walking by faith that he came the first time and did all these things I talked about this morning. And by faith, I believe he's coming back to do all those things that he says he's going to do. That he saved me from wrath. That there's no condemnation for me. He's going to come back and take me, rescue me out of this planet called Earth. Or this hostile world that he left me in. To be a spokesperson for him, to be an ambassador of reconciliation. And when all that's done, hey, let's get up and get out of here. Up and out of here. Beam me up. Beam us up. You know, I was thinking about this. I think about this often. When Greg got to heaven, if Mother Teresa was... what you doing? But anyway, I just thought it was so funny. Mother Teresa's sitting right there saying, oh, hey, Greg, how you doing? Anyway... Or your neighbor, the neighbor that you don't think got a chance because he's so mean and so vindictive and all that stuff, he's in heaven. Well, if they believe the gospel, they'll be in heaven. And just truly believe the gospel. And they may have a rough time at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, as Greg used to say, the fire sale, but they're going to be in heaven. Anyway. Before we close, Mike's got an announcement. He's going to give me a check, and I want y'all to witness it. You got a point.